Well, let's open with a word of prayer and turn to your notes or to Numbers 6, whichever you wish. Father, we thank you for meeting us again this morning, wherever we are, whenever we come to you. We thank you for the access purchased by your blood, Lord Jesus. And as we continue through the prayers in the Bible, Lord, we just thank you for your awesomeness. And today, as you reveal to the children of Israel and to us who you are, your characteristics, and we just, may we get just even a greater picture of who you are and how wonderful you are. So lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin by just blessed assurance. We're going to be talking about a blessing God. We're going to be talking how he has told Moses to tell the children of Israel who he is and his characteristics, and he is a Lord that blesses us. So let's begin with blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Let's sing along. You have to wait a little bit to get started here because this is a Billy Graham choir rendition, and there's a little announcement beginning this song and what it is, and so just stand by. You'll know when to start.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you this evening to beautiful McCormick Place here on the shores of Lake Michigan. We're going to ask everyone to sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. It's number one in your song sheet or your song.
Number one.
You know what? Sing along with us on the first verse now. Together.
To that. In Numbers, we have the children of Israel now have been freed from the bondage of slavery in Egypt by the Lord, and they are on the wilderness march, beginning to go to the promised land. And God is directing them, probably 1 million to 2 million strong as a nation, knowing, of course, that they're going to go into a land filled with idolatry, into a land filled with false gods. And he wants Moses to tell them who he is and what his characteristics are. And as we go through this, I don't know how many times you have had the benediction, so to speak, read to you, or you joined in or whatever. I've had, as we all have many times, and it did pretty much just words. It really didn't register on me. But as we go through it a little more slowly, maybe this morning, I pray that as you leave here, you will have a much greater understanding, appreciation, and love for God and who He is than you do right now. And He is so awesome that we couldn't believe this except that we see that He says it Himself. So when God says, "This is what I am," you can believe this is what He is. So as we get into it now, Moses is supposed to tell them this, and they're then supposed to repeat it basically after every service. And they basically would meet in some fashion every morning. And so this is one of these repeating needs daily. Now, why would you have to repeat this daily? Because we need to be reminded of who God is. Because our flesh and our focus always comes back to ourselves, doesn't it? I mean, we reset every morning, don't we? I'm sure when you got up this morning, you thought about everybody else in the world but yourself, right? Yeah. No, I don't think so. You probably thought about yourself first. And we always do. But God wants us to remember who He is. And so He says, tell my people, speak to my people. And in Numbers 6:22, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, this is the way you should bless the children of Israel. So this is the way that the children of Israel are supposed to be blessed, by understanding who the Lord is. Now keep in mind, all the false gods are unknowable. There's no mercy in any of them. There's no blessings from any of them. You're always trying to keep them happy, and you don't know what will it take to keep them happy. You fear them, you dread them, you're afraid they're going to wipe you out at any point in time. And God says, here's what I'm like. So see if we can get a better picture or a clear picture of what He's telling us in these instructions. We're going to see basically six things here that He is going to tell us. He's going to tell us that He's a blessing God, that He is a keeping God, that He is a smiling God, that He's a gracious God, He's an attentive God, and He is a God that gives peace, or a peace-giving God. So the first statement is, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. What does that mean? I think it means that He is going to bless you continually in everything that you do. Now we're talking about, this is directed to the children of God. This is not directed to people in rebellion. It's not directed to people who are blaspheming God and who are unsaved, basically. This is for God's children. If you're His child, if you can say today, I am a child of God. How many of you can say that? Don't raise your hands. Well, you can raise if you want. I know you'll all raise it. But are you really a child of His? And is He really your Father? Or is He really, in the case of Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord? If He is, this is the promise that He's giving you. I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you. Daily reassuring us that He's going to meet our needs. He is eager to bless us, and He wants to bless us. He doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to succeed. Succeed in His way, not in our own way. And then secondly, the Lord bless you and keep you. What does the word keep mean? Well, keep is an old term meaning to guard or to protect. If you can think of a wall around a city, that would be something that would keep the city, that would protect them. And of course, houses, property, and so forth on the inside of the wall was always worth a lot more than it was on the outside of the wall, because it was protected, right? So God is saying, not only will I bless you, but I will protect you. I will protect you. How many times a day are you concerned about not being protected? Well, if you think it through at all, probably as soon as you walk out that door, particularly as soon as you get out on the street. You know, almost every month we hear about somebody falling, right? They fall over a rock, or they fall over the curb, or they fall over whatever, break an arm or whatever. they need protection, we need protection, or traffic accidents and so forth. So he is a keeping God. And how we need protection, more than that even, is the protection that we're in a fallen world and we're a protection with all kinds of enemies around us, right? In the spiritual realm particularly. So he will keep us. John 17, as he's speaking to the disciples in the great high priestly prayer, I have kept each of you. None of you is lost except the son of perdition, the scripture might be fulfilled. He keeps us. In John 6, he says, I shall lose nothing but raise it up at that last day. He will not lose one single one of his children, and he will not lose you. So he blesses you. He protects you. How long? Well, he's going to protect you until your last breath, and then in one sense, his real protection takes over because you will be with him in glory. We will have a resurrected body, and he will be protecting us throughout all eternity. Is that pretty exciting to have a God like that? So he's a blessing God and he's a keeping God. Next, we see that he will make his face shine upon you. I believe you could just summarize that and say, when he looks at you, he smiles. Can you imagine that? The creator of the universe smiling when he looks at me. I can maybe see when he looks at you, but not. He smiles at us, indicating that he enjoys our company. The very sight of us brings a beaming shine on his face or a smile on his face. And as we can think of that, we say, hey, everything is all right and everything's going to be all right. My God is smiling at me. Do you feel he's smiling at you today? Or do you feel he's rough and mean? If you have that, you're wrong, because he's saying, this is him speaking here. I will smile at you. So he's a blessing God. He's a keeping God. He's a smiling God. And next, and be gracious unto you. Gracious comes from the word grace, doesn't it? An acronym for that is God's riches at Christ's expense, right? The gift of grace. How are we saved? It's through his grace. There's no good in us. And don't we fail all the time, every day? Yes. But he is gracious. He is gracious. He's not dealing with us in justice. He's dealing with us in grace. He's a gracious God. Do you understand that his grace is greater than all your sin? His grace is greater than all your sin. Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounded or abounds, grace abounded or abounds much more. And some people will say, oh, you can't teach that because then you'll teach everybody just go out and sin. No, I don't think so. I think what happens when we see how he has forgiven us, we can't help but have such love for him. We don't want to sin out of our love for him, not out of a legal relationship, right? So he is so gracious. His grace is greater than all my sin. You could also say he's a greater forgiver than we are a sinner. Try to get your hand around that one. That means he's a great forgiver, isn't he? Yes, it does. Not only is he a gracious God, but he is an attentive God. We read here, the Lord lift up his countenance or his face upon you. We have his full attention, his full attention. He cares, he watches, he hears our prayers, he knows everything about us. He's aware of us all the time. And you know, I think we've all found if we ask for something in prayer and he says no, we'll always find out later that he's got something better for us than what we asked for. Have you ever found that to be true? I'm sure you have. He's an attentive God, working all things together for good for those who know him and walk according to his purpose. So he's a blessing God, a keeping God, a smiling God, a gracious God, an attentive God. And sixth, he's a peace-giving God. It says, and give you peace. Of course, that word in the Hebrew is shalom, and shalom is more than just a greeting. It's really a prayer, and it's really a prayer when you meet somebody and say shalom. It means because of the Lord protecting, controlling, and in your life, you will have that peace all about you. It's not just peace, peace. It's peace because of the Lord. He wants us to be confident that he gives us peace. Now, of anything I've learned in my short life, you might say, well, you haven't learned much if you think you've only lived short, but at any rate, don't worry. Don't worry. Worry never helps. Trust in him. You can worry all you want, but for what? Can you ever think of a time when worry helped the situation? But can you think of a time when you turned it over to the Lord and you had peace and he took care of you just fine? Every day, isn't it? Every day. So he's a peace-giving God. You might think of it this way. God answers all my prayers the same way I would answer them if I had his wisdom, his power, and his peace. But I don't have that. So I have to trust him to answer the prayer and give me what I need. So then finally, verse 27, after these six great promises here of who he is, he tells Moses, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel. So because of who he is and what he wants, if they believe in him, that he is their God, he will put his name on them. Now, you might say, well, what's a name? A name just means that when you're in school, it means you got a name, you sit in that desk, and they call on you, and that's where you are. But in the Hebrew, basically, time, in the biblical times, the name was really characteristically oriented. It was you had the name of what you are. And so it's meaning he's putting his name on you. What is his name? It's what he is. And so that's his peace, his keeping, his grace, his attentiveness, his peace-giving. I will put my name on the children of Israel. So he's saying, and then I will bless them. I will bless them. He will do all of these things, not only for them as a nation, but for each and every one. And that's the same for you and for me. He will do this for each and every one of us. Can you grasp how great that promise is and how great he is? So that's what we call the benediction. Our God is a blessing God, a keeping God, a smiling God, a gracious God, an attentive God, and a God that gives peace. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for you tell us that who you are. And Lord, as we go now with the opportunity to pray to you and to bring things to you that you put on our heart, Holy Spirit, just thank you that we have that access to your throne, that throne of grace, not to the throne of justice. And so lead us in this time of prayer this morning, Lord, and may we pray as you would lead us and guide us, but especially for the lost, for the church around the world and the local church as well, and for our nation, Lord, and just for all of those things that you would put in our hearts that we should pray for. And we thank you that you hear our prayers and you even know what we're going to pray even before we pray it. So lead us now in these moments of prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.